We have a long history of when a crime is considered by the communities particularly heinous of having extended additional protections and sanctions. That's already on the law books in several cases. And in this instance, as it's been shown across the country, the effect of a hate crime goes beyond the damage done to that individual. It is a smear on the community. It's an effort consciously practiced by hate groups to attack an entire group and intimidate an entire group of people within our society. And it is therefore in the interest of the policymakers and the law enforcement officials to take strong measures and send a strong message and to look into this type of crime and incidents and see through the statistics if we need to take additional measures.
Will the lady further yield?
Yeah, one further.
Is it not true, though, that they can still do this without having to collect all this data and stir up all this mess that we're stirring up? I mean,
I don't think collecting crime statistics stirs up a mess, frankly. I think it gives us some good, hard, solid information that we need as policymakers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I
yield the well.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from the fourth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I hate to oppose the latest bill from the 30th, but I know that the GBI just turned over some of their data back to the local law enforcement people. They do not have enough personnel.
The lady in the rear cannot hear you, Mr. Twiggs. Our youngest member needs to hear.
I know that the GBI just turned over some of their responsibility of collecting data, turned it back to the local governments in our state. They don't have enough people to collect the data that they're now collecting. And nowhere in this bill is there any funds going to the GBI to collect this data that they're asking for in this bill. I just think you're putting a responsibility on an already overburdened department without any funds for them to do it and taken away from the job that they need to be doing. I would ask you to oppose this bill, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Recognize the gentleman 61st, Mr. Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to briefly urge the members of this House to really look hard at this bill and let's defeat it. I don't stand here to support it. This bill needs to be defeated.
Gentlemen, continue.
I feel like we have a bad piece of legislation in front of us. It's nothing but a foot in the door. If you'll look at the history of this bill, it started out, and now it's down to roughly three pages, so a lot of work's been done to it. If we pass this legislation this year, they're going to come back next year and want to add crimes to it and keep adding to it, and so we're going to be back where we... lady had originally started from. I've got two amendments that I hope to offer that will hopefully clear up some of the problems that some of us have about this legislation. Number one, on looking at the floor substitute on page 3, I'd like to remove one amendment would delete sexual orientation. The other amendment would delete the words HIV infection, which is your AIDS carriers. I don't see any reason why we need to collect data on any of these. But I'd like to urge the adoption of the amendments here, which will delete these two groups from the collection of this data, and then us vote against the bill.
Gentlemen, yield. Gentleman 28, Mr. Holmes, on your right, back over next to the door.
Similar to that which we're talking about here today?
Well, that may be true, but there's no reason Georgia has to do it. The federal law doesn't require us to adopt this, as previously stated. You know, here's the act. There's nothing that requires Georgia to do this. So
what
Georgia wants to do, Georgia can do, and other states can do what they want.
Will the gentleman yield further?
Are you?
Isn't it true that if, in fact, we want to have some hard data, which would determine whether, in fact, there are conspiracies against particular categories or classes of people, that we would need this kind of information? And isn't it true that the GBI has, in fact, had some experience in this particular area with regard to race-related hate groups?
As to whether it's conspiracy,
General will suspend. Now the gentleman continue.
I'm trying to answer your question. There's always going to be conspiracies everywhere. You know, we got them everywhere, but there's nothing in this bill that's going to... This type of legislation, I think, it's got to come from the heart. We've got to have a change of our heart, change of our mind. There's always going to be crimes against minorities, the homosexuals, whomever. So we've got sufficient laws on the books now to control all this. We don't need this.
Gentlemen, yield for one further question.
One further question.
Isn't it true that in order for the law enforcement officials to be able to institute appropriate policies and actions that you would need to have a database on which to base that policy and action?
I would think we got the database now. Every crime that's committed, any person convicted, goes to a GCIC computer, so I don't think we need anything else.
Well,
because what we're doing, we're just attempting to break it down by color or by sexual preference. That's what we're trying to get at. We don't need that.
Gentlemen, you yield.
Gentlemen,
49.
I get down.
Gentlemen in the well, isn't it true that all of us have a copy of the Hate Crime Statistics Act as passed by the federal government on our desk?
That's correct.
Isn't it true that the bill proposed goes much further than the data required in that act?
Absolutely.
That it includes new statuses of people. In fact, isn't it true that it even goes to abridgment of constitutional rights beyond crimes? And that's what's contemplated here?
I agree with you, and I don't see anything in the federal act that has anything to deal with AIDS carriers. So,
gentlemen, you, gentlemen, 21st.
Are you?
Gentlemen, you.
Are you?
Isn't it true that we already have a way to collect information as far as how many citizens in Georgia already have the HIV virus through the AIDS legislation that this body passed about 3 years ago? We already have that ability to collect
Absolutely.
That information?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, 50th.
Gentlemen, you.
Be happy to.
You made a statement a little earlier that I'd like for you to clarify for me when you said there's always going to be crimes against minority groups. What did you mean by that?
Well, there's always going to be a black on white or black or white on black crime. There's always going to be men beating on women, women beating on men. We've got crimes of
Gentlemen, would you yield further?
It crosses all color lines, crosses all sexual lines. There's nothing we can do to deal with that. It's going to be there always. Yeah, I was a victim of a hate crime. I was myself.
With the gentleman yield further, are you comfortable with the response that you just gave us?
Yeah, I am.
I believe that.
Thank you.
Gentleman yield, lady from 53rd.
Isn't it true, sir, that I have an Orthodox synagogue in my district, 53rd district?
If the lady so states, I'm...
Isn't it true also that when a synagogue was attempted to be built in Gwinnett County that there were swastikas painted on various buildings in the neighborhood?
What's your point?
Isn't it true, sir, that the community that we all live in have a duty and obligation to respond to that kind of crime in an affirmative way?
We have laws on the books now to deal with it. We've got law enforcement people, you know, we've got laws against arson, whatever. We don't
gentlemen,
need this.
Gentlemen,
I yield the floor, Mr. Speaker, and urge the adoption of my amendments and hope to defeat the bill.
Chair and I, gentlemen, 59, Mr. Barnett. I have to take them in the order I put their name down, Mr. Smith. I'm sorry, sir. Chair and I, gentlemen, went ahead, Mr. Barnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I really hesitate to come down here this morning. There's so many of you out there who could speak a lot better than I can on this and any other bill that's presented here. But I want to tell you some of my heartfelt feelings on this particular bill. First of all, I want to let you know where I'm coming from. As soon as you come down here and speak out against this bill, the people with the ink love to call you names as racist, bigot, etc. They've already endorsed this bill. So you know what they're going to do to us if we come down here and speak out against it. That doesn't bother me. It won't be the first time the newspapers had some unkind things to say about me. But let me tell you where I'm coming from. I went to college in this state in the 60s. Went to a little college in South Georgia. Went over one day to a little prison there and wanted to start a Sunday school class. They said, Mr. Barnett, you can't do that in this part of the state. We're sorry. You see, you're white, and all of the inmates here are black. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be here this Sunday. I was. We established a Sunday school class there. As far as I know, it's still going. You can look at my voting record down here. I'm proud of it. You can look last year when we were trying to get some fairness on appointments of judgeships throughout this state, and you'll see how I voted. Have no problem with that. Currently, I am a member of the Gwinnett County, newly formed Gwinnett County Human Relations Commission. Now, we've come together, all races, all creeds, all backgrounds, and we've established a group in Gwinnett County to look at situations that arise, as someone tried to point up a while ago about swastikas painted on somebody's sign and this and that and the other, to see how we can help those type situations in our own county. I urge you, if you haven't started a human relations commission in your county, to go home and do so. I think it's an excellent idea. But what about this bill that we have before us this morning? Where could it take us? I'm proud to say that I have always fought for equal protection under the law. And I'm sad to report to you that where this bill could lead to, it could lead to targeting one specific group. Sounds racist, sounds bigoted, but it targets straight, white, Protestant males in this state. It further erodes equal rights.
Do you desire to yield for questions?
No, sir. It further erodes our equal rights that we all have fought so hard for in this state. I've heard of a horror story over a bill similar to this in another state where a minister of the gospel got up, spoke out against homosexuality from the pulpit, and that afternoon he was arrested because he caused somebody emotional harm. Takes away our freedom of speech, and it takes away punishment for crime. I've always been kind of simplistic about crime. You commit a crime, you get punished. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your creed. It doesn't matter where you live, how old you are, or anything else. It should be fair. This is not fair. This is unfair, unequal. It takes away our right of peaceful protest, or it could lead to taking that away from us as groups. We have a group out here on the steps of the Capitol this morning. I don't know what they're out there for, but if they caused someone in this group emotional harm, then they could, I suppose, go out there and arrest those people for protesting out there this morning. We call this bill hate crimes. I've got a simple question asked again. I guess I'm a simple person with a simple mind. A hate crime. Could you please tell me what a love crime is? Can you imagine someone walking up to you on the street out there and say, I love you, but stick them up? Thank you.
Chair and I, gentlemen, 103rd, Mr. Elliott.
Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House, I don't have any problem coming down and speaking on this bill. As an ex-criminologist and ex-law enforcement officer, I believe I can speak on it intelligently enough. You have a federal statute, which everyone has on his desk, 101-275. Now, somewhere along the line, we have some people that have decided that we need more regulation. There's no reason in this world why any law enforcement agency in this state or in this federal government, including the FBI, there's no reason why they can't make an arrest in this particular instance right now. And I think we have enough laws on the books that aren't even being carried out at this point. This is definitely a duplication of powers of arrest that we already have in this state that are more than adequate to handle this thing. And I think that I would encourage you to defeat this bill. Thank you.
Checking out the lady from 134th, Ms. Cummins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'll be very brief. Thank you. I will be very brief. I've sat and listened to legitimate concerns about the bill, and what I want to share with you is not technical language or anything of the kind. Since I've been here for 8 years, I've watched us mandate sentences, increase penalties, put new legislation on the books in an effort to curtail particular activity that is our pet area of concern. And I'm having difficulty understanding why there is so much confusion, reluctance, opposition to some action in the area of hate crimes. The bill before us is really not a bill that will do very much. Simply mandates the gathering of statistics and some training. It does not mandate additional criminal liability as it should. And the reason I'm here is just to share with you the fact that attorney Robbie Robinson was my personal friend and classmate. 1 month before he died, and he's from Savannah, we were in Hinesville in court, in divorce court in Hinesville. And while on break on the courthouse square in Hinesville, we shared a can of Vienna sausages and talked about how far each of us had come to be in the positions that we are in today. He's gone today because someone sent a bomb to his office. Attorney Robinson, unlike me, was a very laid-back person. Soft-spoken, just going about his business. It boggled my mind that someone would take it upon themselves to take his life, but they did. And I just happened to believe that he was a contributing Georgian who happened to be black, but he was a very contributing Georgian, a credit to this state. And it would just seem to me that all of us in here who come here as representatives of the people of Georgia would have an interest in saying to those among us whose conduct is outside of the law in this area that we will not tolerate it, that we would put aside our particular dislikes and understand that Georgia is not served if we go back to the 1940s when there were lynchings at will, when certain people among us were not protected. And it seems to me that a simple bill that calls for our law enforcement to be better trained in this area and to pay particular attention to this area in an effort to curtail such a dastardly act as I have told you about with my friend Robbie would no longer happen again. I did not know the federal judge, but I have practiced before several, and it would seem to me if it only saved the life of one person, it would be worth our efforts here today. I am not concerned that a homosexual will avoid being beaten, or that a HIV positive person, as some of us seem to have trouble with, will get some aid. I think they should. We need to put aside our fears and our particular petty dislikes and say to the people we came here to serve that we are going to be the state that we can be. The state that we can be. And to say also to those who would do things to see that that is not true, that we will not tolerate it. And I ask you, as a fitting memorial to the federal judge who lost his life and my friend who lost his life, that we would deal seriously with this piece of legislation and send a message to those who would go outside the law in this area that the Georgia General Assembly will not tolerate such behavior.
Lady yield to the gentleman from the 67th, Mr. Thurman.
I yield, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. to the lady in the well, is it not true that the legislation we are now considering does not create in any way or in any fashion a new level or a new status of crimes in this state?
Unfortunately, that is true.
Okay, is it also not true that this legislation simply says that statistics will be collected by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation?
That's true.
And if, in fact, statistics show that there is a need for additional legislation or additional punishment, that will give this General Assembly the option to go forward at that point?
That is true.
All right, thank you.
Lady yield to the lady from the 126.
I yield, Mr. Speaker.
Will the lady yield?
I yield.
I suppose this is more of a parliamentary inquiry than anything else. We're having difficulty getting information on people who are HIV positive. Is that not true? Every time we try to get a bill passed, we say that we cannot tell if someone is HIV positive. They're protected.
Right. If that, that's true. No,
well, we've tried to pass bills in health and ecology to let the doctor know that a patient was HIV, and we have not been able to do so. Is it not true then it will be very difficult to collect data on a crime based on a person being HIV when we can't even find out if they're HIV?
I don't think it will. That will be difficult because
we can. Is it not true?
Hopefully, the person who may be HIV, if they are the victims of a hate crime, would want to report that, and my understanding is that they do.
Well, will the lady further yield?
Yes, I will.
Why is it they won't tell their doctor or their spouse or someone in the family that they're HIV?
I don't know why that would be or if that would be, but if it is, it certainly would not affect our doing what is right in this area. One has nothing to do with the other.
That's all the questions I have, ma'am. I don't have no more questions. The lady has yielded the well. You want to ask her a question? Oh, come back, Ms. Cummins. I'm sorry, I missed the gentleman 39. Lady yield, gentleman 39.
Will the lady yield?
I yield.
This is a friendly question. I just wanted to ask simply, is this bill a fact-finding bill, a bill that seeks out information? Is that not true?
That's true.
And is it not true that that is all that the bill does, is just simply seek information as well as train people for the possibilities that might be forecast from the information that they have
That's
received?
True.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And there's nothing else?
Nothing else.
Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from the 138th, Mr. Bostic.
Fellow members of the House, I signed this bill originally, and I took a lot of crap about it. You know, I'd walk in the place, tell us about your queer bill, Henry. Well, listen, if any of you have ever seen a man with his stomach cut open with a switchblade knife, or had his eye knocked out with a tire tool, have been stabbed with a Coca-Cola bottle for the simple reason that he was the wrong color, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, you know what a hate bill is. Most dastardly crime that I think could be committed. If you think it's all right for a marauding bunch of Mexicans to maim and brutalize a black man because he's in their neighborhood after dark, you vote against this bill. If you think it's wrong or all right for a marauding bunch of blacks to maim and brutalize a Mexican because he's in a Mexican work camp at night, you vote against this bill. And if you think it's all right or wrong, or whatever you may feel, to allow a marauding bunch of blacks to maim and brutalize a white boy who goes into a black neighborhood looking for used cars at night and finally kill him, you vote against this bill. This bill protects minorities, got nothing in the world to do with it. It's your color. It's happened. Whites do it to blacks. Blacks do it to whites. Mexicans do it to whites. Vietnamese do it to others. We don't have any synagogues in Tift County. And I don't personally know any queers in Tift County. I'm not talking about those people. But we've got plenty of whites. We've got plenty of blacks. We've got Mexicans. And we've got Vietnamese. And they all brutalize each other in Tifton, Georgia, where everybody lives on one, the white people live on one side of town. The black people live on one side of town. When I was growing up, I lived in the middle, so I fought both sides. Just because we lived, whatever neighborhood you lived in, you were against that neighborhood. And it's grown between, we've got to do something to stop it, about beating up people and brutalizing people and maiming people, breaking their arms, knocking their eyes out and killing them because they happen to be the wrong color in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think this bill is a right step in that direction. You've got to give it, you got to live in the real world. Some people in here don't live in the real world and they worry about too many things. But this is a practical, down-to-earth, good bill, good legislation for the protection of all types of people. And I think it's good and I think it's fair and I hope you'll support it. I do. Yes, sir.
I have no... Gentleman, yield. Gentleman 61st.
Got one.
Gentleman, yeah.
Yes, sir.
You talk about the cuttings and the knifings and the killings. Don't we have laws on the books already to do that? Don't you think we ought to go, if it's such a concern, if it's such a big problem, don't you think we ought to go and increase these penalties we've presently got, do away with the parole board and keep them locked up, electrocute them, or do what we should do? Isn't that a better approach?
Well, I think if it's a hate crime, or a bias crime, or whatever, it's an aggravated crime, and this is something, not something new. If you beat up on somebody at 65 years or older, you know, it's the penalty is heavy. If you possess the gun while you're in the commission of a felony, it's an initial felony. So we're not breaking into new ground. All of this has been done before, and it's been done in acts before, and we're just adding to it and just adding another category. Good. And I think it's a good category.
Further question?
One more.
Talk about crimes between races or...
Talking about, that ain't no question.
Well, we know it's there, okay? Crime between races, crime between sexual people of different sexual persuasions. Don't you think what this should come from the change of the heart? We can't control people's minds. We can't control the heart. Isn't that true? Don't you think that's where it's going to have to come from instead of adding another law to the book?
I don't know anything about heterosexual. I'm speaking from experience. I've seen people maimed and beat up and cut up simply because of the color. And simply because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it needs to be stopped. And if this bill will help stop it, I think we ought to support it, and we ought to vote for it. Thank you. I yield the floor.
Gentleman is yielded the floor. Chair and I, gentleman 152nd, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. All of the crimes that my predecessor in the well just mentioned to you are already prohibited by law. There's punishment for that. We may need some laws making more punishment, but they are already against there, and I would suggest that if we really want to do something about that, we stiffen the punishment and increase severity in those cases. Let me say that I have the highest regard for the author of this bill, the lady from the 30th. As a matter of fact, she's my state representative where I stay at night, and I have a high regard for her. But this bill is designed primarily, and I think we might as well be honest about it. We all know that. It was brought before us primarily for one purpose, and that is to make a statement in support of a particular type of lifestyle. And I would suggest that in my own district, that would be hard to sell. I think it would be hard in most of your districts. And I oppose the bill for that reason, and I would ask you to take serious consideration before voting on this legislation.
Chair and I, gentlemen, 21st, Mr. Aiken.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I didn't intend to come down here and speak on this piece of legislation, I did not intend to come down here and speak on this particular piece of legislation. Looks like I'm not going to if I don't get this mic. Thank you. But I feel a burden on my heart that I have to express to you. I want each and every person in this hall, in this chamber, to realize that I have the most respect and the most love in my heart for each one of you, regardless of your religion, regardless of your race, or whatever differences we might have. That does not affect my love and my respect for each one of you. But I find a lot of fault with this piece of legislation. It's been alluded to several times since this bill has been on the floor of the House for debate that all we've got here is a bill that will allow us to keep records and to keep facts. That's all it does. The gentleman from the 39th, who is a very dear friend of mine, asked that question just a moment ago. And the answer from the well was, that's all this bill does. It allows us to keep the facts and the figures and everything together. I'm down here to tell you that when law enforcement of any magnitude tells us that they need a piece of legislation to allow them to keep statistics and to keep records and to know whether or not a crime has to do with love or hate, we've got a lot bigger problem than this piece of paper will cover. We need to go to legislative council then and direct law enforcement how to get their act together. This legislation does not do it. They can keep the facts if they need right now. And if they haven't been doing it, then something very bad is wrong. I also want each person in this House to realize that I have no problems with some of the wording in this legislation. I have no problem with a person's race. I have no problem with a person's religion. I have no problem with a person's color. I have no problem with a person's sex. I have no problem with a person's national origin. But I have a severe problem when you take a person's sexual preference and rise that up and put it on the same plane as those things I have just mentioned with which I have no problem. There's just something wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. Something is trying to be done in the state of Georgia that maybe I don't understand. I think maybe some of you don't understand it either. And I just beg and I plead with you to let's take care of those things that I mentioned that I have no problem with. But let's don't take a person's sexual preference and raise it up on the high plane of race, religion, color, national origin. I just beg you and I plead with you to defeat this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Chair recognizes gentleman 35th, Mr. McKinney. I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that applause is a violation of the rules. This is not a mutual admiration society in here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. All I want to say is one thing and make it very clear. January 15, 1987, a group of us took a bus to Forsyth County. And we didn't want to bother anybody. All we wanted to do was to go to Forsyth County. It had been rumored that black folks had to get out of Forsyth by 5 o'clock, whatever, by 5 o'clock p.m. at dusk. And in 1987, we went to Forsyth County. And I got a knot on my hand here that's been here ever since 1987, where I was attacked by the Ku Klux Klan. That is a hate crime. That is a hate crime. That crime has not been made a statistic, although we went to federal court and we sued them and got $1 million judgment. It's still not registered as a hate crime perpetrated on Billy McKinney. Now you say whatever you want to say, but we all know what hate crimes are. There are some people who have suffered the indignities simply because of who they are, and no preference whatsoever, just simply who they are. All I wanted to do was go to Forsyth. I was run out of Forsyth about 25 years ago earlier. I was up there rabbit hunting. We went up to Forsyth County rabbit hunting, me and my partner. Had a brand new Buick convertible in 1956. I had on a hot hunting outfit with a gun bandolier around me and brand new 1100 shotgun. Hadn't shot but one rabbit by 12 o'clock. Saw a little country store up there in Forsyth and said, well, let's stop and get us something to eat. We went in there and ordered a pound of bologna. The man cut me one big hunk. I said, would you slice it, sir? He said, threw me the knife, said, cut it yourself. Told my partner, I said, damn, man, we're in the wrong place. Ordered Coca-Colas, and he had a Coca-Cola box. He said, get your two hot ones out of the crate there. I said, man, we got to get out of here. Somehow we got to get to the car where our shotguns are. When we got outside, it was two of them good old country boy overalls on. One of them sitting in my brand new Buick, letting the windows up and down, letting the top back and forth. I said, man, we got to, how are we going to get to the shotguns? They were locked up in the trunk. One little rabbit laying on the back seat, on the float, about black Fobo. So I told my man, I said, I'm going to ease around and try to open the trunk. Four or five of them standing around, so I walked out, going to try to be friendly and say, hey, how y'all doing? Say, we was doing all right till y'all come up here and shot all the damn rabbits. Now that was hate intimidation. I'm gonna ask you to, and I hate to do this from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to ask you to accept one of the amendments of the gentleman from the 61st. And vote for the bill. It's been gutted. There are no criminal penalties left in it. There's nothing but statistics that would allow the GBI to add to whatever. They already keep statistics on robbery and rape and murder. Add to it crimes of hate. I don't think that's too much to ask of this Georgia General Assembly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chair recognizes the gentleman of the 50th, Mr. Redd.
I'm going to be extremely brief. Some gentleman wrote some years ago that we hold these truths to be self-evident. Said that all men were created equal, said that they were endowed by their creator with such inalienable rights that amongst those with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This piece of legislation is a meager attempt to address that issue. Now, I must admit that I'm not surprised, but I'm still disappointed by some of the statements and utterances that have been made from this well. I'm surprised how all of a sudden we can be so eager to pass bills relative to the increase of punishment for certain offenses, and how we can be so hesitant to pass legislation in terms of some other offenses. Now, there is going to be an amendment offered to this particular piece of legislation. As the gentleman from the 35th said earlier, the bill is already gutted. This amendment will remove certain language that a lot of us have stated that we have problems with. I'm hoping that we can find it within ourselves to look at the amendment, to vote for the amendment, and then to vote for the bill. But in doing that, I'd like to remind you of something, gentlemen from the 61st. There are some people within the great grand state of Gwinnett who would have been protected under this bill. There are some people in Cobb County. I want you to know one thing, that the lady from Fulton and myself and others who signed the bill, we don't have a monopoly on constituents that have sexual practices that may be different from our own. I want you to realize that Gwinnett County has people like that, and they are citizens too, and Cobb County has citizens like that, and they too are people too. And I would not all be surprised if you search your family trees, you might find something there. That's not an indictment on their individual families, Billy. But what I'm saying is, none of us knew, I did not know until some years ago, that I had some people within my family that enjoyed that particular kind of lifestyle, if they enjoy it. The only thing I'm trying to say is that we need to look long and look deep on this subject. I hope that you can vote for the amendment and vote for the bill.
Checking out, gentlemen, 121st, Mr. Oliver. I made a mistake. Not if we took it up at lunch, it wouldn't be so much
talk. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, when I was a boy, I heard the late Eugene Talmadge deliver a speech in my hometown, and he gave an example of a farmer, can you hear me? A farmer saw a bird lit on the top of his barn, and he got his gun and went out to kill the bird. He slammed a shell into his old single barrel 12 gauge, raised it up, drew a bead, and fired, and the barn exploded. He did that to make a point. He asked questions from the audience. Some people said, well, Governor, what was in the gun? Some people said, what was in the barn? That was before the days of rural electrification, but some people said, was there any electricity to the barn? Was there any electrical appliances in the barn? They ran the complete gamut of questions. Finally, one old man raised his hand and said, Governor, did he kill the bird? The audience had taken their eye off of the bird. They was concentrating on the gun and the barn. And I think in this bill, if we're not careful, we're going to be taking our eye off the bird. We've heard from my good friend from Tift County, where my family roots go back to, talk about people that are disemboweled with glass bottles, hitting the eye with tire tools, marauding blacks attacking Mexican camps, maybe vice versa. And all these things are already against the law. One of the most dangerous parts of this law is the mental harm or mental anguish portion. I think when you get to that, that could be used to stop sidewalk picketing for any cause, left-wingers or right-wingers. If they picket, it's for a cause, and they're going to cause the other side some mental anguish or mental harm. But that could be used to drag others into court. Another thing that could be stopped was the counseling of teenage pregnancies. Anything that causes mental harm to another party. Ladies and gentlemen, I sympathize with the cause of the people that put this bill in. I want to confirm my friendship with them, but I think the bill as it's written is a bad bill, and the House ought to defeat it.
Is there any? Chair recognizes gentleman 115, Mr. Walker.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I very, very reluctantly come to the well on this bill, and frankly, I come to talk about something that's somewhat embarrassing to me. Unlike some of the people that have been to the well, I don't talk about this kind of subject matter lightly. I don't think it's something that should be discussed lightly and in a light vein whatsoever. The gentleman from the 99th, the Majority Whip, and the Chairman of the Rules Committee and I have an amendment basically to take out sexual orientation and HIV infection out of this bill. The reason that we're doing that is that we feel like there are many members in the House that would like to vote for the bill if this is out of the bill. Now, I'm not saying that that's not a subject matter that should be addressed later and in a different bill, but I think that it should not be addressed in this particular piece of legislation. I hope that you will support us in taking this out of the bill, thereby, I think, freeing up a lot of the members to be able to vote for this particular piece of legislation. I have a speech that I have given two or three times lately, and the title of it is the South different from the rest of the country, and if so, why? And I gave this talk down in Macon County at the Chamber of Commerce meeting about 2 weeks ago, and during the course of my remarks, I looked out over the crowd, and about a third of the members of the Macon County Chamber of Commerce were black members. And I made the statement that we've come a long way. We've made a lot of progress. There are those in our society who will say we haven't made much progress. I say to you, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. We have made a lot of progress. You've got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run. And we're walking in this state now, in my opinion. Again, I think that the good Lord knows that I don't think you ought to hate anybody for any reason about what they are. And I'm not taking this, the amendment we offer is not designed to say that there's a field day on abusing anybody in our society. I think it's wrong. I think it's morally wrong. Certainly it's against the law, and we do not offer the amendment to take it out for that reason. We simply offer the amendment by saying to you that if you'll take this out, I think that we can deal with what is a concern to a lot of people, and we hope you will help us adopt this amendment so many members of the House then can possibly vote for this particular bill. Mr. Speaker, if there are questions, I'll yield. If not, I'll again ask you to adopt our amendment at the appropriate time.
I see no questions. Sir, is there any objection to Mr. Cheeks wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Walker. Mr. Walker, Mr. Cheeks wanted to ask you a question, please, sir.
To the gentleman in the well, I've tried previously to ask several speakers on page 3, the first line, it has listed emotional harm. And I'm finding a great bit of difficulty trying to determine myself exactly how to define emotional harm. And I wonder if it would not, and I'm being serious in my questioning to you, I don't know that you can, if you will, try to, if not, I'll ask the speaker, if he can, determine to me to where I can feel comfortable with the word emotional harm. I think you could harm lots of people emotionally, not intentionally, and possibly.
I think ultimately, and I stand to be corrected on this by some of the capable lawyers in here, but I think ultimately that's a jury question, whether or not you have done something purposely that caused somebody emotional harm. Now, having said that, I understand that there's going to be another amendment offered to take that out. I'm not proposing to offer every amendment to this bill that possibly should be made, but I think ultimately that would be a question for a jury. Did somebody purposely do something? And you know, you can harm somebody, maybe it rises to the level of being a crime. You can harm them without actually touching them. You can harass them, and you can call them on the telephone, and you can say ugly things to them on the telephone, and you can ride by their house, and you can shout out the window of your automobile, and I assume that that's the kind of, you can cause them emotional harm. I guess you can finally run them crazy. The Chinese used to drop water on people's head, you know, and run them crazy that way. I guess in and of itself, one drop didn't do much, but I guess that's what they're talking about, but that will be, you can vote your conviction on that amendment. I think it's going to be offered. I yield for one more question, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen, yield to the lady from the 134th, on your extreme right.
Sir. Mr. Leader, is it not true that the language at the top of page 3 that speaks about emotional harm has to be caused by an act that is in and of itself a criminal act? So if you have not committed a crime, the question of whether or not it caused any kind of harm does not come into play.
Well, thank you for that, for help with my answer. It was probably not completely accurate. Mr. Speaker, I yield the floor.
Now, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is there any objection to the previous question being ordered? The chair hears none, and the previous question is ordered. The chairman of the committee from which the bill came, the gentleman from the 101st, Mr. Chairman, do you want to chairnize the gentleman from 101st, Mr. Randall?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill did come from special judiciary, and I'd like to say from the beginning, I have no apologies for sending it out. What I would like to do very briefly is to try to separate fact from fiction. Okay, fact. So when this bill came to us and we had a debate on it in our committee, there were people there from the GBI who indicated to us that they could do the fact gathering that this bill would require without any additional equipment or money or manpower. They're collecting statistics and data now, and they indicated to us that they could do this. They further indicated to us that there is a problem in this state with crimes being committed against people simply based on their status, whether they're black, female, white, homosexual. All of these things, these crimes are happening. Fact. In this state, presently, there are some crimes that are listed in this bill that are enhanced punishment-wise when they are committed against a certain segment of our population. Namely, if some of these crimes that are listed in this bill are committed against people 65 years old or older, then the penalty is enhanced. If a police officer is assaulted over and above the penalty for regular assault against an average individual, that punishment is enhanced when that assault is against a police officer. Fact, all this bill, and the original bill would do, but in those instances when it could be shown by the district attorney, by proof, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the crime was committed simply by, because a person was either black or Jewish or homosexual or white or female, then the penalty could be enhanced. That's all the original bill does. Now, I get the indication that the bulk of the problem is with the sexual orientation part of it. That seems to be a great problem in affording protection, enhanced punishment against people who attack a person simply because they're different. I'll say this from the outset. I come from a very fundamentalist church, and we preach against homosexuality. I've been reared all my life that that's wrong. And I believe that. But I still believe that those people are human beings. I know that they are human beings. And that same church teaches me that God loves us all. Scripture says, for yet when we all were in our sins and trespasses, he still loved us. He still loved us. And I submit to you, it is no more right than a person who chooses, and I'm not, and I say it's wrong in my belief, but it's no more right for that person to be subjected to beatings and harassment simply because they choose a different lifestyle from that which I might choose. It's against the law. But there are people who will single these people out and others that are listed in this bill and do them harm simply because of that fact. And since they single them out specially, then there ought to be some special punishment for it. I'm not going to object to the amendments that's being proposed by the gentleman from the 115th and the gentleman from the 99th. But I think we are fooling ourselves if we will not face up to the fact that crimes are being committed, yes, that can be charged now. And that's all right. But when that crime is being committed solely because of a person's status or their color or their religion, then that should be treated differently. And it should be an enhanced penalty, just like we do it for 65-year-old people and for police officers and some other categories. I'm certainly glad that the final judgment on everything does not rest with us in this body. For if it did, I'm afraid a whole lot of us would make it. I urge you to support this bill. All this bill does is say to the GBI, you can collect status to determine, you could collect data and statistics to determine the extent of the problem. There's no question there is a problem in this state, in this country, with crimes being committed simply because of a person's position or in life or their color or their sex or their sexual orientation. That's a fact. We want to say, let's determine the extent of it in Georgia. And if it's as bad as, or if it's not as bad, then we'll know. But this bill is no way condoning homosexual activities or homosexuality. There's no way a person that can read this and understand can say that. I can understand you got some problems. But the simple fact is that all this bill does is call for the collecting of data. I personally wish the original bill could pass. But I know that's impossible. But we can do a small thing. And we can send a message to the skinheads and to the neo-Nazis and to the Ku Kluxes that the state of Georgia will not tolerate it, and we're going to start tracking to determine what you're doing. And if we can show it, then we're going to go after you. And that's simply all this bill does. I respectfully ask you to do what's right. And let's vote for this bill. And I'll ask you to vote for it without the amendments. But if the amendments do pass, I still ask you to vote for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Do you desire to yield any questions? He does not desire to yield for questions. All right, we have a committee substitute and amendments to the committee substitute. Clerk will read the first amendment to the committee substitute.
By Representative Aiken of the 21st, strike on page 3, line 6, the words sexual orientation and HIV. Strike on page 3, line 7, the word infection.
Is there objection? Gentleman, state his point.
Mr. Speaker, at this juncture, do I understand that we are attempting to perfect the committee substitute, which is not the document that the author, Ms. Orock, addressed? Hers was the floor substitute. Is that correct?
Correct. We are now trying to perfect the committee substitute. If it's adopted, then the floor substitute would be out of order, of course. Is there objection to adopting the amendment? There is objection. The gentleman moves. Gentleman moves. All those in favor of adopting the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. All those in favor, rise, stand till you're counted. Gentleman from the 115th.
Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Point.
Is his amendment drawn correctly? He's taken out HIV, for example, and he hasn't taken out infection.
He's taken out words from two different lines. Gentleman 100 from the 99th.
His amendment, as I see it, is it, Mr. Speaker, I'd ask this question. He's dealing with page 3 of the committee, what he calls the committee substitute, and that language that he's taken out appears on page 4 of the committee substitute. It's on page 3 of the floor substitute.
Then his amendment would accomplish nothing if the words are not in the on the page that he signed. He, gentleman asked me to withdraw his amendment. He has that right. Clerk will read the next amendment.
An amendment by Representative Dunn of the 73rd. On page 4, delete lines 23 through 25 and add the following. 2, status means race, religion, sex, color, or national origin.
Gentleman from the 101st, what purpose do you rise?
To make a motion that
gentleman
we withdraw. I'd like to move to withdraw the committee substitute at this time.
Is there objection to withdrawing the committee substitute? Chair, non-committee substitute is withdrawn. So that means all amendments to the committee substitutes are gone. We'll go to the floor substitute now. Clerk will read the first amendment to the floor substitute.
An amendment by Representative Holland of the 136. On page 4, beginning on line 6, strike, consistent with federal guidelines established by the United States Department of Justice.
Gentleman from 136.
Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman state his point.
Is it not true that by striking this language, this is consistent with the amendment offered by the gentleman from the 115th and the gentleman of the 99th to make the methods that the director shall establish simply subject to this act and not consistent with the federal guidelines?
The gentleman so states the chair, sure that's his intention. The lady from the 30th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, is it not true that these are the very verbatim words that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation asked us to insert into this bill?
That's a matter that the chair has no personal knowledge of.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question is on this. Is there objection to adoption of the amendment? Is there objection? I can't do it for you, you know. All I can do is ask. Now does the gentleman move? Gentleman moves. All those in favor of adopting the amendment will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, rise, stand till you're counted. Reverse your position. Reverse your position, please. On the gentleman motion, ayes 134, the nays 31. Gentleman motion carried, the amendment's adopted. Clerk, read the next amendment.
An amendment by Representative Poston of the 2nd, page 3, lines 6 and 7, strike words HIV infection and add terminally ill.
Gentleman, 2nd, Chairman, state his point.
Mr. Speaker, isn't it true that many of the victims of the AIDS and HIV infections are children that have received that virus through blood transfusions and through operations?
The gentleman so states.
Mr. Speaker, isn't it true that if we remove the apparently objective buzz phrase HIV infection and put in terminally ill, that that would cover the same children, such as the child that was in Florida whose house was burned because he had HIV infection?
The gentleman so states it. Gentleman from the 152nd.
If we approve this amendment, would that have any effect on the amendment from the gentleman from the 115th?
Yes, sir.
It would?
Yes, sir.
What would be the effect?
Let me see both of them. I declare. He's deleting the words HIV, and this is changing it to something else, so it would make his amendment moot, and he'd have to redraft his amendment. Is there objection to adoption of the amendment? There is objection. Does the gentleman move? The gentleman moves. All those in favor of adopting the amendment say aye. Opposed, no. No seem to have it. No's have it, and the amendment's lost. Clerk will read the next amendment.
Amendment by Mr. Walker, the 115th, and others, by deleting the words sexual orientation and HIV infection on lines 6 and 7, page 3, and the words or perception thereof on line 7, page 3, and add the word or before the word national origin on line 6, page 3.
Is there objection to adopting the amendment? There is objection. Does the gentleman move? The gentleman moves. All those in favor of adopting the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes seem to have it. The ayes have it, and the amendment's adopted. Clerk will read the next amendment.
An amendment by Representative Titus of the 143. On line 1, page 3, remove the words or emotional, and on page 4, line 2, subsection 21.
Is there objection to adopting the amendment? There is objection. Does the gentleman move? The gentleman moves. All those in favor of adopting the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
No's seem to have it. Does the gentleman know how to make a motion? That ain't the way you do it. You need to stand up and be recognized, and then I ask you what you want. I ain't gonna lecture you no more on that. If you hadn't learned it in 18 years, you ain't never gonna learn it. Now, what purpose of gentleman's 61st rise?
Move the yeas and nays.
Gentleman moves the yeas and nays. All those in favor of the yeas and nays, rise and stand till you're counted. Clearly, 1/2 so ordered. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. And the clerk will unlock the machine. All members voted. If so, the clerk will lock the machine. Gentleman, motion, ayes 103, the nays 6. Gentleman, motion carried, and the amendment's adopted. Clerk will read the next amendment.
Representative Kingston offers the following amendment. Page 3, line 1, delete the words or emotional harm.
I think that's the same one. Page 3, line 1. That's the one we just adopted.
That amendment's out of order. The amendment's already been adopted. Clerk, read the next amendment.
It's going to be the same one, Mr. Speaker.
The amendment by the gentleman 61st is the same. It's out of order. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Want to see the same thing?
Yeah, no. Page 3, line 6 and 7. I think this is going to be the same thing as Mr. Speaker.
in this one as well.
Gentlemen, 61st, your amendment on HIV has already been, that's out of order. So is your amendment on sexual orientations out of order. Are there any more? Is any objection adopting the floor substitute? Chair none, floor substitute's adopted. Any objection agreeing to report committee in favor of passing the bill? Chair none, report committee agreed to. Shall this bill now pass? All those in favor, rise, stand or you're counted. Gentlemen, 61st.
Move the yeas and nays.
Gentlemen, moves the yeas and nays. All those in favor, for purpose, gentlemen, 50s rise. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no, and the clerk will unlock the machine. All members voted. All members now voted. If so, the clerk will lock the machine. When it passed the bill, the ayes are 64, the nays 103. The bill having failed to receive the requisite constitutional majority is therefore lost. Clerk will read the luncheon notices on the desk.
There will be a meeting of the Governmental Affairs Committee in room 2.
Just the luncheon notices.
Luncheon notices only. Lady from the 30th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice that at the proper time. I'd like to ask a reconsideration for failing to give constitutional majority to House Bill 376 by floor substitute.
Lady has that right.
Okay. I'm
no luncheon notices.
During lunch.
No luncheon notices?
Yes.
Read the luncheon. There are none. Are there any luncheon notices?
No, sir.
There are notices about meetings.
Oh. This house stand in recess until. Chair recognizes gentleman 27.
I'd like to have a meeting of the Governmental Affairs Committee in room 226. It'll take about 2 minutes.
This house stand in recess until 2 o'clock, and there will be that bill that we called up this morning that had to take down because it wasn't for 280 will be called this afternoon. I suggest you be back promptly at 2 o'clock.
Fresh.
Clerk will read the caption of a group of privileged resolutions.
A resolution expressing support for the men and women of Coweta County serving in Operation Desert Storm. A resolution expressing condolences at the passing of William W. Coppedge, M.D. A resolution expressing support for the men and women of Coffee County serving in Operation Desert Storm. A resolution commending and recognizing Mrs. Rhonda Bo Kustik. A resolution commending Mr. Lincoln Reeves. A resolution commending Mr. John E. Holloman, Jr. A resolution commending the 48th Infantry Brigade. A resolution commending Mr. Jack Pollard Pollock. A resolution commending Mr. Harold Swindle. A resolution honoring Mr. Billy Elder. A resolution expressing support for DeKalb County as the site for the 1996 Olympic tennis events. A resolution commending and recognizing Mr. Arnold Sr. A resolution commending and recognizes Mrs. Evelyn Redfern Harris. A resolution commending the staff of the Thompson Work Unit of the Division of Youth Services for the Department of Human Resources. A resolution expressing support for the men and women of Walton County serving in Operation Desert Storm. SR 154, resolution commending Clayton County Sheriff D.G. Bill Lemax. A resolution commending Randolph T. Bumps Bibb Sr. and expressing regret at his passing. A resolution recognizing and commending the Freedoms Foundation at Valley Forge. A resolution expressing support for the men and women of Stevens County serving in Operation Desert Storm. A resolution commending Billy J. Clack on the occasion of his retirement. A resolution honoring Mr. Charles Hamilton Houston. House Resolution 236, commending the Jones County High School Lady Hounds softball team for their athletic excellence and inviting the team and their coaching staff to appear before the House of Representatives. House Resolution 246, a resolution commending General Hunsford T. Johnson and inviting him to appear before the House of Representatives. House Resolution 247, a resolution commending and recognizing the Honorary Commanders Association, inviting certain of its members to appear to be recognized before the House of Representatives.
Any objection to adopting that group of privileged resolution, extending sympathy, commending, and so forth and so on? Chair, none. Those group of privileged resolutions are adopted. Clerk will read Senate Resolution 15.
Senate Resolution, a resolution designating the 441 bypass highway around the city of Eatonton as the J.P. Marshall bypass and further purposes. This resolution having appeared before the Committee of the House on Transportation recommends the same due pass and having been read a third time.
Chair recognizes gentleman 118th, Dr. Green. 106th, Dr. Green.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I appreciate your positive vote on this. It's for my mayor over there who's been in office over 20 years. And
can't hear him, Doctor. You're going to have to talk a little louder.
All right. Can you hear me now? Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. This bypass has been named for the mayor over there who is presently in office and has been for 20 years. He's meant a lot to the development of that community, and we feel it would be an honor for his name to appear on this bypass. Appreciate your support.
Any objection to previous question being ordered? Chair, none. Previous question ordered. Any objection? Green Board Committee's favor to pass the resolution. Chair, none. Board Committee agreed to. Shall this resolution now pass? Please ring the bell. We're now voting on the general calendar. And I know exactly how many is in here. All those in favor will vote their own and only their own machine aye. No long distance voting of any type or character. The clerk will unlock the machine. Can't reach your button with either your right or left hand or your big toe on either foot, you ain't going to get the vote. Ring the bell some more. Your own machine only. Believe me, I'm watching. All members now voted. All members now voted. All members now voted. If so, the clerk will lock the machine. On the passage of the resolution, the ayes are 99, the nays are 0. This resolution has received the requisite constitutive majority, is therefore passed. Gentlemen, 138, is any controversy involved in your bill? Second. Clerk will read the captions, House Bill 48.
House Bill 480 by Representative Bostic of the 138. A bill relating to ticket scalping so as to change the amount of certain authorized service charges with respect to selling certain tickets. This bill having appeared before the Committee of the House on Special Judiciary recommends the same do pass as amended and read a third time.
Chair recognizes the gentleman 138, Mr. Bostic.
Fellow members of the House, 480 just placed a cap on the amount of authorized ticket agents for charge.
I really didn't want you to.
House Bill 480, what it does, it just puts a cap on agents, ticket agents for charge for servicing tickets for Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Falcons. It's just a service charge. They don't have to pay it, and they can stand in line, but it's permissible. Thank you for your support.
Any objection to previous question being ordered? Chair none, previous question is ordered. Any objection adopted? Committee amendment? Chair none, committee amendments adopted. Any objection to reading report? Committee is favored to pass the bill as amended. Chair none, reporting committee agreed to. Shall this bill now pass? All those in favor, rise, stand, or you're counted. Reverse your positions, please.
One.
Passage of the bill, the ayes are 90, the nays are 1. Would anybody like to know who that 1 is? Chair votes aye. This bill has received the requisite constitutive majority, is therefore passed.
This is your Rust Hole bill, Jim Martin can handle. He's here.
Clerk, read the caption of House Bill 482.
House Bill 482 by Representative Murphy of the 18th. A bill relating to rules for expansion of eligibility funded by Indigent Care Trust Fund so as to change when contributions may be made. This bill having appeared before the Committee of the House on Health and Ecology recommends the same do pass and read a third time.
Chair recognizes the gentleman for Mr. Martin.
House Bill 482 deals with the Indigent Care Trust Fund legislation which we passed last year. This is a technical amendment, just allows rural hospitals and those hospitals that are having trouble coming up with their contribution to the Indigent Care Trust Fund to make those payments in installments. As you know, this program is a remarkable program that allows us to get federal Medicaid match for those local hospitals that have a high percentage of indigent care patient load. The leadership in the House sponsored this legislation last year, and this is a technical amendment that would allow us to pay those installments over a period of time rather than between the time of July 1st and September 1st of each year. The other reason for this bill is that we don't know if this program is going to continue, and this will allow hospitals to adjust their budgets and make the payments during this particular fiscal year in a way that is consistent with that program. I'd be glad to answer any questions. If not, I'll yield the floor.
Any objection to previous question being ordered? Chair none. Previous question ordered. Any objection? Green Board of Committee has failed to pass the bill. Chair none. Board of Committee agrees to. Shall this bill now pass? All those in favor, please rise and stand in your county.
It's a local.
Reverse your positions, please. Passage of bill, ayes are 97, nays are 6. This bill having received direction, constitute majority is therefore passed. Clerk, read the caption, House Bill 324.
House Bill 324 by Representative Young Cummings of the 134th, a bill relating to crimes and offenses so as to provide that it shall be unlawful for a person to knowingly sell any real or personal property in exchange for any criminally derived property. This bill having appeared before the Committee of the House on Special Judiciary recommends the same do pass.
Checking out the lady from the 134th committee to Cummings.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, House Bill 324 simply makes it a crime for persons to exchange or sell anything for monetary value to a person for property or money that they know or should have known was criminally derived. And at the appropriate time, I'd like to ask you to consider an amendment on the floor which would bring this bill in line with the federal law that it is tracking.
Have you done drawn your amendment? Clerk will read the First Amendment.
An amendment by Representative Cummings of the 134 to amend House Bill 324 by adding to provide for exceptions after property on line 5 of page 1. By adding before the period on line 12 of page 2 the following, comma, except for any transaction for the purpose of preserving a person's right to representation as guaranteed by the state and federal constitutions.
Any objection to adopting the amendment? Chair none, the amendment is adopted. Any objection agreed? Board of Committee has failed to pass the bill. Chair none, Board of Committee agreed to. Shall this bill now pass? All those in favor, rise, stand at your county.
51.
Reverse your position. Passes bill to ayes 110 and nays 5. This bill having received the requisite constitutional majority is therefore passed.
What is that Georgia Power bill? 288.
Clerk will read the caption. House Bill 280.
House Bill 280 by Representative Pettit of the 19th. A bill relating to public utilities so as to add a new Chapter 3A requiring integrated resource planning by electric utilities to provide for definition, to provide for an integrated resource plan, meetings thereon, and action by a public service commission thereon. This bill having appeared before the Committee of the House on Industry recommends the same do pass by substitute and read a third time.
All members, please take seats and cease all conversation. Doorkeepers, strictly enforce the rules, please. Now, ladies and gentlemen, during this debate, we're going to have order. And if you have to have a conference, please take it to the ante rooms on each side of the chamber. Chair recognizes Jim Bartow, Mr. Pettit.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask first, if you would, to make certain that we're all talking from the same document. Look on your desk for the Pettit-Watson-Groover substitute, floor substitute, to House Bill 280. Was printed and distributed this morning.
Substitute or main bill?
Legislative Council number is LC 117537/1S. It was printed and distributed by the clerk's office this morning. If you will, for just a moment, permit me to give you a little bit of a historical perspective and background about House Bill 280. Several years ago, when Commissioner Cass Robinson was a member of this body, he served as chairman of the Public Services and Utilities Subcommittee of the House Industry Committee, a position which I now hold. I was a member of that subcommittee and had an opportunity over several years to work with Commissioner Robinson on a number of issues. And as many of you will recall, just prior to his appointment to the Public Service Commission, he had sponsored legislation and headed a study committee to look at long-range planning on the part of the electric utility industry in this state. After his appointment, certainly there was no action taken with regard to that, and I continued through the subcommittee and the House Industry Committee to continue those discussions to try to determine whether or not the state of Georgia needed to reform the system for providing electric utility services to our constituents. House Bill 280 is the culmination of several years of work. What I want to do in a minute is go through it provision by provision with you, because I recognize that many of you have had a lot of questions, have had some comments made to you in the hallway, and I recognize that it has been a very difficult issue for you to deal with. There have been several substitutes of this bill drawn that have generated additional discussions, and we have attempted to work with each of those groups in the hallway that have been talking with you about various concerns that they have. In addition to serving as a member of the House Industry Committee, several years ago, I was also appointed to serve on the Southern States Energy Board. That board is a member organization made up of 23 member states and the Virgin Islands. And we meet periodically to discuss not just electric utilities, but all energy sources and looking at long-range plans, not only for the Southeast, but for this country. And one of the things that we have been talking about as a board is the need to provide some comprehensive energy policy for this country. Also, through my work on the Energy Board, I've had an opportunity to deal with other states that have a certification process in place and to hear from those representatives from those states about how that is working in their particular jurisdiction. Something that I